Hello and welcome to Real Geeks Presents The B-Roll. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
And of course, if you're enjoying the show, please, for the love of God, don't forget the standards of the like, share, and subscribe. And if you really, really love us, or are willing to do this just to get us to stop begging for it, don't forget about the coast.ca's annual Best of Halifax campaign. Just go on over to vote.thecoast.ca, go to the music and culture section, and nominate us for Halifax's best podcast. Because even just getting us onto the ballot would be a huge benefit for the show. I mean, I want to win so I can laugh at every other podcast in the city, but just getting on the ballot.
And I want even more bragging rights.
Precisely.
Well, shit, I guess we better earn those votes and contestations. So, in that case, considering how you have had an ordeal of a day.
Day.
What's up? What we got? How's it going?
First up, very quickly, a correction and a follow-up to a couple of things that I've mentioned on past episodes.
Except I did nothing wrong. Well, blanket statement.
The nice thing, though, is in this instance, it wasn't you.
Yes! Like I said, I did nothing wrong, including that statement.
I believe it was about 2 weeks ago when I had mentioned the drowning death of actress Mary Mara.
Mm-hmm.
And I referred to her as the first cast member of Nash Bridges to have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I messed up. She's actually the second, because I forgot about actor James Gammon, who played Don Johnson's father, Nick Bridges, and he had actually passed away back in 2010.
Ah, so quite a lead on that one. All right. Well, it's a decent runner-up. Silver's still a good take. You had a good career. It's all right that you didn't end first dropping off from the mortal coil from that show. You got a good decade and a bit to dance on a grave. Unless he was your friend, in which case, my condolences. Well, you're dead now anyway. thank you for that correction.
Now, a follow-up to the story about Tonka the chimp.
I always knew this story could develop into something even stupider.
Well, the nice thing is, it's not specifically stupid so much as he is actually doing very well and thriving at the Save the Chimps Animal Sanctuary.
Oh, you mean adults intervened?
Yeah, good stuff actually happened.
That chimp sanctuary is going to burn to the fucking ground.
if it does, and if it does, number one, you will be at fault in some way.
I didn't. No. Simply pointing out a possible future is not predicting or causing that future. I will not be held responsible for other people being predictable.
No. You put it out into the universe. You manifested it. So if I'm reading a story next week about a fire in a Florida animal sanctuary, that's going to be on you.
Okay, but if it's any of the other states, it's not. Those are the stipulations and terms. Any other state, not my fault.
Now, see, that's fair. Now,
that includes Georgia.
With all that said, though, you can, if you're interested, you can go to savethechimps.org. You will have to kind of dig around on the site a little bit to find it, but you can donate to Tonka specifically if you're interested in doing so.
Give money to that monkey. Give money to that monkey.
Pay the monkey. God, if we had money for an artist, that could be a shirt. Pay the monkey.
Pay the monkey. I'll see what I can do.
All right, and now for our proverbial feature presentation, if this stupid video player goes away, there we go. And in casting news for Marvel in the... It's big news, but it's not in any way a surprise news. Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio were both announced as returning for the upcoming Marvel series Echo.
Vincent D'Onofrio is the kingpin. I can't see that working.
No, I mean, it's not as if they're bringing in the other characters that Echo has the biggest connections with or anything.
Yeah, it's not as if they're essentially porting over the absolute fan favorite wholesale, including the background characters from that, and managing to work them into the MCU flawlessly. No, this is going to fail horribly, just like everything else Marvel has done. Of course I'm excited to see this. Christ!
Oh, damn right. I mean, if I remember right, even when Echo was introduced in the comics through, I think it was New Avengers?
Mm-hmm. It may have been the Max line. I think she was a Max character at first.
She might have been, but yeah, I'm like 95% sure that she was introduced to it, like at least mainstream in early in the New Avengers line. And that was through Daredevil. If I remember, it was basically the Avengers had to go to Japan for a mission, and they went to Matt Murdock because of his connections to the Hand. And he was like, no, I've got too much going on. I can't help you. But.
Yeah, so in that case, if it's not from one of the... I think there was a Daredevil Max series. If it's not from the Max series, it's from the Marvel Knights series. And this is like the same general run that created Jessica Jones and recontextualized Luke Cage into more of a modern approach, and of course reignited the Punisher as a dark humored, like pitch black gallows humor character, which is the only way to do humor with the Punisher, if you can do the Punisher. Oh, God, how are they going to do the Punisher? Frank, I love you so, but you're so bad. Other people should not be allowed to read you, only me, Frank.
Well, with the Punisher specifically, obviously we don't know what they're going to do, but we know that they're going to do something.
Yeah, and John Bernthal is back, so
yeah.
It will be him doing whatever, however, wherever, whenever, could ever, we'll see. Frankly, I think that what they should do is go whole hog in the opposite direction and give us something as goddamn ridiculous from, of course, a what-if episode or possibly a multiverse movie. Like, call it overtly, you're saying, like, okay, it's Punisher in the Multiverse of Madness. Sure, whatever. But there is a book that will work in there perfectly, and it has a far more interesting title. And that is Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe. And it's a book set in an alternate universe in which his children and wife, Maria, are killed in a battle between the X-Men and the Avengers fighting the Brood. Like, it's a very specific battle set at a very specific time in, I believe, like, the mid to late 80s. And so he immediately shoots Kitty Pryde and Scott Summers in the face. Just right there in fucking cold blood. Just like, oh, you motherfuckers. I think Scott says, like, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't see them there. And it's like, ah, ha, 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 I'll kill you.
Yeah. Well, and also at the same time, it's Scott Summers. Pretty much everyone wants to shoot him in the face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, like, before he shoots Scott in the face, he full-on shoots Kitty Pryde in front of Wolverine.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so there's a long-running thing throughout it where it's just, like, Wolvie hates him the most, and he makes sure that Wolvie suffers. He makes sure that everyone else dies before Wolverine.
God.
He's so cool.
Okay, yeah.
That would be a great what if episode where it's like, we're not saying this is the Punisher. This is a Punisher. We're not saying this is Wolverine. This is a Wolverine. But yeah, Punisher kills the Marvel Universe. And if you don't do it the hardcore way that was written by Garth Ennis before he wrote any other Punisher story, do it the Fred Hembeck way. There was a comedy book release called Fred Hembeck Kills the Marvel Universe. It was one of my first Marvel comics, actually.
Nice.
And that's why I'm so fucked up. That's why my relationship to these characters is so fucked up, because I didn't get into it through stories. No, I got into it through Fred Hembeck murdering them all as a joke to sell comics. In a story that he is blubbering to the Punisher, who has an Uzi to his face, and is later revealed to be Stan Lee in a Punisher disguise, just trying to get an honest pitch out of Fred, since the only way to get him to get off his ass is to scare the living fucking daylights out of him. Ah, beautiful comic if you can find it. Truly, the art style. I love Fred Hembeck's art style. It's so stupidly simple.
Well, I mean, look, one way or the other, I'm sorry, this needs to be What If Season 2.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, that's not going to tie into any overarching storyline. I don't give a fuck. Recruit him at the end of it. It's just like, you're really good at killing universes. You want to come kill a universe, Frank? We'll let you loose on a mobster universe. Everyone in it's a mobster. You can just murder indiscriminately. This is the happiest I've ever been.
And also, a quick side note to any MCU fans listening. Not every single property has to connect to every single other property. Standalone comics are a thing that exist.
Exactly. It's allowed to exist on its own. It can be a completely separate Punisher, especially since we all know that the real MCU Punisher will be Frankencastle.
No. I think the one where if you really just want to drive Punisher fans crazy... God's Avenging Angel, Frank Castle.
Ooh, that's a bad Frank Castle. That's a bad Frank Castle. That Frank Castle, however, still gave God the finger and then became the Frank Castle of both the Max and the Marvel Knights series. So, like, that Frank Castle has potential to evolve. I will do you one better. It's not even a Frank Castle. I give you 2099 Punisher. What the fuck is he wearing? Oh, that's a delight.
Oh, yeah. The one version of the Punisher that, if I remember right, was at least technically a cop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, not even
let's
technically.
Do that one
he
now.
Was a cop. Yeah. Yeah. Very prescient now. Sweet Jesus, yeah. Dear Lord. Who is he killing that? Oh, right, the rich. No, it's not realistic at all. God
no,
damn it.
No.
This completely fucking fails. Go read the Welcome Back Frank miniseries and take great joy out of the Elite and their social commentary. Someday we got to talk about Garth Ennis in some sort of very special round table in which everyone goes, God damn it, Garth. Why the fuck? You're amazing when you're not being an immature little douchebag, and then you become like a right wing shit fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's getting some money for all this anyway. Oh, Garth, you break my fucking heart. The boys is great. The boys are great.
So, to get back to Echo and specifically what Charlie Cox will likely be doing, this is from The Hollywood Reporter, where, quote, sources say Echo will include a plotline in which Daredevil, whose alter ego is blind attorney Matt Murdock, is searching
out...
I know, late breaking news here.
Holy shit. Get me Wilson Fisk's phone number. I'll go make some fucking money.
Podcast The Weekly Planet has reported that ally is Jessica Jones.
Sorry. No. They're very reliable. They're a fantastic podcast. I'm fans of them. I just find it hilarious to be referring to them as like a source. It's like... Okay. No, I'll believe it if they say it. their editor is Canadian, they're trustworthy.
So Jessica Jones, another Marvel character who toplined her own Netflix series that was played by Krista Ritter. If Ritter as Jones does indeed make an appearance in Echo, Kevin Feige, I swear to Christ, if you even think of bringing in anyone other than Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones, I will find you.
Oh no, they simply wouldn't do it. It's you have to wait like a generation for that to fucking pass. They haven't recast like anyone since Don Cheadle. like realistically, I mean, okay, one of the Warriors 3 got recast, but. It doesn't matter.
That was unavoidable.
They won't even recast like Peter Stormare. Peter Stormare's not in any of this, goddammit.
Yet.
No, they won't recast anyone. The closest that they've gotten to recasting is Loki. And by that they essentially just like threw all the cards in someone's face and went, yeah, have them all. He has been recast and not recast. They are all Lokis. It doesn't fucking matter anymore. I hope, frankly, they someday do recast Loki, but every now and then you just see variant Hiddleston just like in the background, and it's like, yeah, that's another Loki. A lot of them look like that.
No, that would be great. But I'm just saying, if the two choices are not Kristen Ritter or no one, you either go with no one or I will be paying the Marvel Studios offices a visit.
Yeah, the answer is no one, and a monthly 4 to 5 course dinner at Kristen's favorite restaurant of her choosing until she says yes.
Yeah.
Like, You do not stop, because I think everyone else is on board, except, unless of course it's that dude from Iron Fist who like wouldn't even learn fight choreography, in which case, who cares?
Yeah, like it was with him, it was quite literally, they tried to fix his character in the Defenders.
Yeah, no, they tried, and it's like, yeah, at that point especially, he was so like dug in being like, no. I'm not going to do anything. It's like, okay, good teamwork. You're definitely going to have a future career here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, they tried. They did a decent job repairing Iron Fist. I still don't want him to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Have Shang-Chi kill him off screen. And not even realize he killed the immortal Iron Fist until, like, he punches a guy one day and his hand is all, like, fiery. And he's like, this is new. That's a thing.
Okay.
So now Shang-Chi is also the immortal Iron Fist.
I am so down for this. And the reason that I'm down for this is because when they were doing the casting for Iron Fist, there was this big movement of people demanding that they cast an Asian actor as Danny Rand. Otherwise, it was whitewashing, cultural appropriation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, yes and no, because Danny Rand is a white character. His existence and original setting is exploitation, whitewashing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The character, unfortunately, is white. So the best option is not use him. Give it to a character who isn't white.
Yeah, well, like I was just going to say, the entire time that was happening, I'm over here going, Shang-Chi is right there!
Yeah, Shang-Chi is right there. And it really is right up there with, like, what if instead, like, it was bad enough that, you know, the Immortal Iron Fist, master of the martial arts and Eastern mysticism is a rich white guy. From New York. But yeah, like, what if like our introduction to Wakanda had been like a white guy instead of, you know, like King T'Challa and the Black Panther, like way back in the 60s, if instead of the Black Panther, it was like just some random fucking white guy. Like they went with Ulysses Klaue first. And it's just, that's how we get to know Wakanda. And it's like, you're the Black Panther, the leader of this nation of Afrofuturists? You? It just doesn't fucking work. And it's like, okay, the idea's rotten from go. So have Danny Rand exist, have him get curb stomped for being an imperialist swine, and then, give the power to someone more deserving.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I know nowadays, if I remember, there is a new Iron Fist who is Asian. So you could bring in that new Iron Fist, and the problem is more or less solved anyway.
Yeah. Plus, you can find someone who actually has chemistry with Luke Cage's actor instead of another character he has to carry on his back.
Yeah. But, I'm just saying, with the whole Danny Rand casting controversy back in the day.
Yeah.
Like I've always said, right and righteous. you were trying to do the righteous thing by getting an Asian actor cast, while completely ignoring the Asian character that you should have been calling for.
Yeah, no. And that's such an early to mid kind of like Marvel Studios issue of like, you're trying, but you're not bothering to include anyone whose voice is actually relevant in this. You're just like assuming what will be good. And what is actually like representation and then missing the mark entirely, which, you know, they can always do better. There's always something to deconstruct where it's like, this was lip service e, but they are getting better at it.
Yeah.
So far, not so fucking stupid. So far. Give it 5 years and suddenly everyone will turn on these horribly because, like, something will change in the zeitgeist. Oh, boy.
Yeah, like, if nothing else, everybody needs something that they can be offended about so that they can get the likes and the clicks and the views and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Yep. It's boring.
But But moving on, and ironically, at least indirectly, speaking of things to be offended about.
Ooh, boy.
We have a new casting recommendation for Ezra Miller's replacement.
Okay, hit me.
Elliot Page.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the picture of Elliot Page beside Ezra Miller in the Flash costume, and I'm going, yeah, even just the looks.
The jawline's very fucking strong. The cheekbones are practically the same. Except this time we'll get someone who's capable of acting without acting like a jackass.
Precisely. You have a better actor with enough of a physical resemblance that the transition from actor to actor would be minimal.
It'd be minimal. It would probably be more celebrated than anything. And quite frankly, Elliot Page doesn't always look like he just shat himself. Which is
true.
Real problem for Ezra Miller. I'm sorry. It's something about their eyes where it's just, why do you always look so surprised? What?
And also there's the simple fact that, I'm sorry, but I'm sure that when Elliot Page runs, Elliot Page looks like a running human being, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of someone trying to speed skate through fucking butter or something. It's so weird. It was such a bad artistic choice in a series of bad artistic choices for an entire decade. That run represents everything wrong about where it comes from.
Yeah. But, and also, at the same time, though, as frankly wonderful a choice as Elliot Page would be to replace Ezra Miller, looking back at his experiences on X3, would Elliot Page want to do another superhero franchise?
I think that there would be a great enticement to get Elliot Page back because of the relative bad treatment he had to go through.
Yeah. Well,
everyone had to go through in that fucking film.
Well, true, but as I understand it, yeah, Elliot probably more than anyone else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think this would be a wonderful moment and chance not only to, push forward trans actors as being able to portray their sex and gender of identity. And a massive potential leap forward for Elliot in terms of gross marketability. Once you get that level of action figures, all you do is shut your fucking mouth and appear on screen, and you don't have to work another day in your life aside from wearing that costume. It's a potential. Now, Elliot Page is a fantastic actor and I assume would be interested in hungry roles, but the potential is there. The potential is there. And Ezra Miller, even if it was revealed tomorrow that Ezra Miller didn't do a single thing wrong, I think they've annoyed enough people that people are just fucking sick and tired of seeing them. That's it. It's just congratulations. You've burned your 15 minutes by acting like a jackass instead of re-upping it by doing good work.
Yeah, I mean, right now, of course, Warner Brothers has flat out said, yeah, we're not working with them again. I mean,
yeah.
With Flashpoint itself, they obviously have to. It's it's just too late.
Yeah, and there's a one. All right, fuck it. I'll play by your rules, Snyderverse. If there is a 1% chance that the Flash could actually be good and Ezra's performance might be good, then we have to consider it that Warner Brothers will take them back if it is profitable. So we have to, like angry Batman Dad, get overly fucking aggro about it, not ask any questions or talk to anyone, build a suit of armor and start screaming about our mothers until it all works out in our favor. Yeah, that's how that movie ends, right?
Probably.
I mean,
but I mean, frankly, at this point, I do feel like it's pretty safe to say is that Ezra Miller is so toxic and so just corporately untouchable. Not even the Snyder Bros could bully Warner Brothers into working with them again.
Jesus, that sounds like you were giving me shit earlier for manifesting, and you throw that out there? Are you fucking insane?
I just don't see any possible scenario.
No, stop talking about it. You're just making it more likely. They'll start working. It's like fucking asking shit. What the hell is his name? Who's the guy who builds shit for the X-Men? Forge. It's like asking Forge if it's possible to make something. He can't fucking help it. His mind will just be working on that. If you suggest to a Snyder bro that they could make, you know, they can bully someone into something and leave it at, but I don't know how, their brain's just going to constantly be going tick, 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 tick until it goes boom.
Well, as I learned on Twitter today, the Snyder bros are the fan group that think that Zack Snyder should not be criticized for filming an entire franchise in dark lighting because James Gunn filmed one scene at the end of Peacemaker in darkness.
They're not very well read people. They don't watch main movies. The really fascinating one is to watch them and completely seriously assert that, like, certain aesthetic choices that are made in Zack Snyder films, reproduced, rather, in Zack Snyder films, he's never come up with an original shot in his fucking life, are the first times any of these things exist, and therefore everyone else is, like, copying him. And it's like, what a fascinatingly small world they exhibit. I wish there was a community that rabidly insane for, like, Uwe Boll and making those kinds of claims about, like, fucking Postal. You know, like, oh, this is the first time any of this has appeared. And it's like, are you the dumbest piece of shit on earth? Oh, my mistake. Yes.
Well, Crash, taking an individual and placing them up on a pedestal to the point of idolatry.
Mm.
There is a group that does that, and they've been doing that for a very long time. We refer to them as the church.
Ah, yes.
I don't think Dad would mind, do you? If I changed just one thing in this room. That should be upside down. Now, we know better now, don't we? The devils don't come from hell beneath us, no. No, they come from the sky.
And according to ET Canada, Taron Egerton has revealed that he's met with Marvel about taking over as Wolverine from Hugh Jackman.
Good.
Now,
this is good. This is a universal good. This is good. there is no other response except, like, a knowing good. Good.
That
man is fantastic.
He's fantastic. He is great, but I do want to point out that that was what the headline on the article said.
Yeah.
What he himself says in the article.
No, no, don't ruin it. No.
Quote, "I don't think it would be wrong to say that," he laughed. "I'd be excited, but I'd be apprehensive as well. Because Hugh is so associated with the role that I'd wonder if it'd be very difficult for someone else to do it." He added, "But hopefully, if it does come around, they'll give me a shot."
Okay, so yes, he's saying yes, I just don't... Okay, no. Hold on. He just confirmed the entire story, then dick rode on Hugh, which is normal when taking the character from a previous actor, then asserted how excited he would be since he can't contractually announce it. Yes, it's happening. Fantastic.
Well, and to me, it sounds more like he was asked if he would be interested, and he's saying, yes, I would love to do it. And personally, I'm about 95% sold on Egerton as Wolverine.
What is this curious 5% that is looking to ruin a day?
It's more, I just visually have trouble seeing him as Wolverine, so I would just like to see what he would look like in costume, so to speak.
I can see it, oddly enough, because of his performance in Rocket Man, where if you see someone wear enough crazy fucking shit, you don't even have to, like, imagine other things on them. You're just like, oh yeah, I know for a fact that'll work. It's like Doug Jones. Doug Jones, as in like
Saru.
Yeah, Saru, yeah, and Doug Jones. Abe Sapien and all, yep, those. You don't need to tell me what the makeup is that you're applying or any of that. I know it'll look good. Because at this point, it's Doug Jones doing a creature performance. Go. Have at. I don't care. Yeah. No. Like, I can't wait to see it. You don't need to fucking tell me. You don't need to permission. It's okay. I know it'll be fine. And it's the same with him, where, like, even if they... If this floundered because the Bond films came along and just said, actually, here, you take this, I could see that. But... especially, I can see him do a fantastic, interesting, and heartfully comedic, while tragic, Wolverine. Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is great, but he's the center of attention. He's the hero. He's the POV for the most part. You know, he's the center of that universe. It literally pivots around him, and he kind of has this sense that that's true. I would love to see one that doesn't have that much focus, but is performed by an actor who knows when necessary to draw focus and when necessary to completely go invisible and share with an even more outrageous co-star. Like, you gotta give it to him. He is fantastic in the... I fucking love these, yeah, films, so I don't care what anyone has to say. In the Kingsman films, he's terrific. I love his work in them.
Oh, and yeah, it's definitely.
It's not just him. He helps uplift his other performers. He's not a lazy or selfish actor. So, yes. By God, yes. Give it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Like, at the end of the day, I think it's just a case of, like, in terms of this potential casting, you're there, your soul. I'm maybe, like, two or three steps behind you.
Yeah, just wait until you see him in the yellow spandex.
Yeah.
You'll be there. everyone who has not, go and watch Rocket Man. Everyone who has watched Rocket Man, go and rewatch Rocket Man. That is your homework. Wednesday, 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 night for a
supposed to be Saturday?
What day is it today?
Wednesday.
Exactly.
Now, also, as we're going to get into casting news from non-comic book properties, you mentioned the Bond films earlier. Hold that thought. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because first, we're going to talk Denzel Washington for a moment. Specifically, a report from slashfilm.com. Equalizer 3 is now a Man on Fire reunion as Dakota Fanning joins Denzel Washington.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. I hope it doesn't end up being a Taken 3 fiasco due to his age.
I mean, valid point, but I think
but
at
his
the same
Macbeth
time...
was fucking incredible last year. So
yeah,
I'm always up for more Denzel Washington. I'm just worried that we're gonna eventually hit one of those moments where like, there's a scene in The Irishman when Robert De Niro's curb stomping a guy, and it's like it's meant to be like De Niro's character is in his mid 30s beating the hell out of this dude. And it just looks like a 75-year-old man, like, decrepitly trying to kick what is obviously an actor just laying there, like, taking it. And it's like, oh, no, you've stepped over the bounds, and now I can't believe any of this anymore. Oh, no. And I worry for when that occurs, because Denzel Washington is, like, a national treasure. And
true.
An incredible actor, and it's one of those things where it's like, gosh, I'd love to see him in a Marvel movie, but you know what? I worry that that would cheapen Denzel Washington. It's like, no, we must protect Denzel Washington. You can have all the Shakespearean pricks and famous British actors and whoever the hell else you want. I don't care. Denzel has to, like, remain atop the mountain. As, like, yeah, but he's the serious actor. He doesn't appear in this shit. He's doing important plays.
The Equalizer 3 casting news, I just want to quickly say that I'm glad to see that Dakota Fanning is coming in because of the chemistry that she and Denzel had in Man on Fire.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
Which was fantastic. And, yeah. Like, again, as much saying how talented and generous and supportive an actor he is as how talented, even at a young age, she was. And if you can work with someone like fucking... Denzel Washington and have it be a memorable film, and like she wasn't young but like
yeah no but
there have been younger, there have been older who have been worse, and Man on Fire is a fantastic film, which is it's a remake that eclipses the original.
Yeah, it's a remake of a film from, 19, I'm honestly guessing, but I think it was somewhere around 82.
Yeah, it's a classic, like, late 70s oeuvre dirty cop film. Yeah. Not quite into the 80s action film. Yeah.
But the only thing that I was going to mention is that I kind of hope that this is not leading them to them doing a story similar to the first Equalizer movie.
I suspect that it would be an inversion of that. That's also where I worry about the Taken 3 thing, where it's like,
yeah.
Uh-huh. How much more can you change this? And it's like, I know that there are more Equalizer stories. There's an entire fucking... TV show. Again, it's like the second or third Equalizer show that they've ever done. And like this has been a long-running character for the
second
last, like,
TV show.
Yeah, second TV show. This has been a long-running character for like fucking 50 years, 60 years or something like that. and Queen Latifah's The Equalizer on TV. And it's like, well, I know that you've got fucking script ideas. You can just pull an episode. My question is, will Queen Latifah have a cameo? And if so, overt or covert? Do you give the Shaft tip, or do you pull back?
If they did that, what would they do? Because right now, we basically have an Equalizer multiverse.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of just going the easy route and being like, he's her dad. It is absolutely a multiverse, and I suspect it's right next door to like the what was the one Tom Cruise was in, and now it's like an Amazon series starring a football player who's like literally twice his height.
Reacher and
Jack Reacher,
is also a former comic book actor.
He played Hawk. He
was,
didn't he?
No, Aquaman on Smallville.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he was also Hawk. Oh well. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters when it comes to Hawk. Until you become Monarch, I don't give a fuck about you. Even then, that was a cop out. But yeah, I suspect that the Jack Reacher universe, like multiverse, either exists within the same or like membrane space as the Equalizer multiverse.
Oh, probably. I mean, frankly, that's a crossover that I would be down for. Now, also, since you did kind of open the door for this earlier, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Columbo multiverse.
Not where I was gonna go, but this would be that would be amazing.
It actually already exists. There's multiple. There's a Columbo anime. There's multiple Columbo parodies. There's a fantastic Japanese movie about a detective who decides to act and dress like Columbo as like just a way of it's like, well, nothing else I try works. Fuck it. I'm just gonna bumblefuck my way around. And it's amazing.
I'm sorry. I'm still a Columbo anime.
Yeah. There's apparently a Columbo anime. Columbo is fucking massive in Japan. To this day.
Why not?
Yeah, Peter Falk. What can you say? Everyone is gay for Peter Falk.
Now you had talked earlier about Denzel Washington in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna throw this out there because this is apparently a legitimate rumor, something that people are calling for. Denzel Washington as Magneto.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely riding right into the original misunderstanding of the character. The intent was never necessarily to be Malcolm X. Stan Lee kind of threw that together as an explanation a few years later. Fuck it. Go hard. Obviously, you need a character who has gravitas, if not magnetism. that's a physics forces joke. One is stronger than the other. I would love to see that. That would be fantastic. It definitely is that's one of the few roles that he could play. However, I can immediately hear the problem of that's cool. That's a great recasting, but very specifically, there are you could have him play Reed Richards and no one's going to really give shit. Like, it's not a problem if you race swap Reed Richards. Except to assholes. Well, fuck assholes. I was just
going to say, it was a problem when they race swapped Johnny Storm.
Hey, fuck well, them. Those are douchebags.
It was a problem anyway.
Yeah, that entire film has issues, but that was not the problem. And Michael B. No. Jordan is obviously amazing. So, no, that's just assholes being assholes. The problem here would be the eraser of Eric Lenscher's heritage, which is already an issue when it comes to Wanda Maximoff, who is supposed to be Roma. Eric, at some point, Eric used to also be Roma, but I think they've decided to go full on, like, he is Jewish. So, like, you can't erase that, and it's another problem of, like, how do you do Magneto without the Holocaust? Because it's intrinsic. It's so fucking necessary to who he is. And you can say, like, oh, just swap out, like, genocide, and it's like, no. That will not work the same. Magneto survived Auschwitz.
No, but what I have heard regarding that specifically is like yes, the Holocaust is such an intrinsic part of the character, but at the same time, you would need to cast an actor. Probably even older than Sir Ian McKellen in order to make that timeline work.
Like, you can just say that mutations also slow aging or some shit. You know, like, there's a way around that. You know, there's a story way around that. I can see it being used as a reason not to. And, like, you know, if Denzel Washington is doing Magneto, obviously it's going to be a fantastic Magneto. As previously stated, his Macbeth is a great Magneto, or his Macbeth is a fantastic performance, and Magneto is often portrayed very much the same way, like Macbeth. It's a Shakespearean regal character with like tragedy, both in like backstory and presumption. Like, you. They're the villain, even if they don't mean to be, ultimately. That's actually why I really love the new, X-Men approach, the Hickman one. Because I always thought that Magneto is far more interesting if you allow him to actually be a good guy who just disagrees with you and not, like, a fucking cackling supervillain.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. Now, also, with the idea of Denzel being cast, what if instead of tying his origin to the Holocaust, it was tied to the civil rights movement?
It's, and, like, that's still a good, you know, like, it would be a potential approach, but there's something inherent to the level and efficiency and mechanisms of the Holocaust and what it meant, like, to the Jewish identity that, like,
yeah,
the betrayal is I hope that Black people in America have hope for an America that includes them and isn't always just like constantly at their fucking throat. You know, I hope that, you know, the dream of Martin Luther King Jr., you know, the future of the promised land, that whole thing is still legitimate. Whereas the anger and trauma that drives Magneto is Israeli state level of, like, no, the answer is no. We understand you don't want it, and we're never going to fucking come back to you. In fact, we're going to consider you an outright enemy until proven otherwise. Like, that level of defensive, aggressive, like, response is Magneto. Magneto is very much a representative of the state of Israel. And Professor X was meant to be like the ideology of the state of Israel, like before you ended up going into the political issues that led to like aggressive expansionism. The whole thing is essentially two Jewish creators having a discussion about like the ideology and belief of Zionism versus the outcome of Zionism. And if you, yes, obviously you can take that away and all of that, but it's just like, first of all, they probably shouldn't be stripping Jewish characters of their ideal, of their identity, especially since there are so few at the moment overtly Jewish characters in the MCU. Like,
no, that's very true.
Yeah, like Ben Grimm's not here yet. Kitty Pryde's not here yet. You know, like the mainstays aren't really. It used to be that Peter Parker sometimes was portrayed as Jewish, but they don't seem to be going that way. It's really? Every now and then, if I recall, I think Jack wanted him to be like, I know Jack wasn't involved with his creation. It was Stan and fucking libertarian lunatic. But like whenever like, you know, obviously Jack was like, well, I've got so much creative control over this. You know, I believe it was a thing where he kind of pushed for it a little bit. And so there's aspects where it would come out somewhat. But like otherwise in the MCU right now, I know there is a character that is Jewish, but the fact that I can't like just immediately off the top of my head be like, oh, it's this person. Whereas like fucking Ben Grimm, right front and center, and he will let you know, you know, and Kitty Pryde let you know, like there's, it's intrinsic to these characters, and it is as intrinsic to Magneto as the Roma identity is to Dr. Doom. There's been a lot of talk about like, you know, who to do as Dr. Doom, and it's like, he really should be Eastern European, because it's not just a matter of, oh, that's where that character's from. It's the trauma that so many went through, even fucking 70 years later, is still there, and it still is impacting these people. And it can't just be like erased because it'll make for some good casting. It is central to these characters and what they mean. That's me going to fucking town for a Jewish Magneto and a Roma Dr. Doom.
Oh, well, no, totally fair, because, I mean, like, for me, as much as, you know, like, we can obviously agree that Denzel Washington is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
But the idea of Magneto being played by someone, by an American instead of a European actor.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
It felt weird.
Yeah.
But
it just doesn't work. And like, it was one thing to have Ian McKellen as Magneto, because one, they did keep the Holocaust backstory very straightforward in it. Like, there's a reason he's that old. But they allowed the actor to institute his outsiderness as a queer person to represent Magneto's outsiderness as a mutant and a Jewish person, all of whom would have been attacked by the Nazis. And that's not to say that the Nazis wouldn't have and did not attack black people. They did. They killed many black people, and they had horrific fucking plans for Africa. It's more that like the black trauma and pain that Denzel Washington has is like, as a black person in America, is American black trauma. It's so different in that sense from like European Jewish like trauma, and they're both very valid traumas, but it informs the character so vastly different that like, surely there can be a character instead that like would allow him to address the American trauma. And I think him as Mr. fucking Fantastic Reed Richards is the best way of doing that. Like, make the absolute best person in America. Like, morally, intellectually, inventively, everything. Like, Reed Richards is quite possibly the, like, supposed to be, like, the most impressive and accomplished human alive. Like, Tony Stark's fucking in his dust.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Make that Denzel Washington. Instant gravitas, and you get to have him play with a character that, like, has he ever played a genius before? Like, he gets to be a genius superhero.
Yeah, I could see, I can totally see it. I'm also wondering if there, maybe the idea is to do more race-focused stories with the X-Men. When you consider the accompanying rumor to the Denzel rumor, which is Giancarlo Esposito as Professor X.
Hmm. You know, I hadn't ever considered him as Professor X. That could be really cool.
Yeah.
it's just nice that he finally gets to sit down in a role instead of just like, the man is always fucking standing, no matter what. They never let him like just chill. He always has to be like standing and intimidating while the camera slowly moves in on his face as he says something vaguely threatening. It'll be really interesting to have him sit and try to be like just nice and charming constantly.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I think that's one of those rumors where nobody can really see it because nobody's ever seen Esposito play anything other than a villain.
Yeah. But there's the, like, that's the thing. Even his villains are, like, wonderfully charming. You know, and when, oh my God, I can't believe I've completely spaced on his most popular villain's name. But the guy who runs El Pollo Loco. When he is in happy, nice guy mood, he's amazing. No wonder no one thinks he's a fucking drug kingpin.
Yeah.
Gus Fring.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, his Gus Fring was obviously, like, mind-blowing and career-making. And there's the thing about Professor X. His identity, his trauma is not tied to his, like, they're not necessarily tied to each other. You can easily have any actor who has a little bit of, like, respect and gravitas and a dramatic reach to be in there and be like, yeah, that could work. That could work totally. By all means, go to fucking town on Professor X.
Oh, yeah, totally. And like, I'm just kind of going, if they're going to race swap both characters, then could you build on the racial trauma?
I mean, yeah, obviously, and they'll find a way. And they haven't misstepped badly in a very, very long time, and I wouldn't expect them to when it comes to like fucking Denzel Washington, let alone the introduction of Professor X and Magneto and the X-Men and so forth and so on. But I go back to the ending of Loki and what? Oh my God, why am I having such a bad time remembering names tonight? The asshole at the end of time. His names are Immortus and Kang the Conqueror. Okay, there it is. Anyway, and Kang the Conqueror slash Immortus slash Dr. Richards, who is a descendant from Reed Richards in the MCU, is black. He's black in practically every universe, it seems, based on the like the appearance of the characters that appeared in his little, like, I don't even know, the exposition sand, the stuff that like made the recreations of like mini hymns while he was explaining the multiversal war, and they all look exactly like him. Like, so the idea is the vast majority of Kang's slash Immortus's slash he who managed to get to the end of the game,
or as the rest of us call him, he who remains.
Yeah. They all seem to mostly be his template. It's like maybe there are some characters like Loki who the majority of Lokis appear to be that template. Maybe yeah. all Kangs are this one person. Like, there is no variety for some reason. If you get a Kang, then they look like this. If they don't, then no Kang.
Well, I mean, that theory would also go toward the fact that every version of Doctor Strange looks like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, exactly. So, like, that Doctor Strange is so fucking important that they all look like Cumberbatch, but you can have three fucking Spider-Men plus, and, yeah. and more, and more, and more, and more, and more. And they all look fucking different. but, yeah, like, one second. I gotta reorient my brain. It just fried on that one second. So it would be an easier visual connection to be like, okay, this is Reed Richards' great grandson, and this line those two actors up and be like, okay, they both have this great version of like gravitas. They don't look fuck alike each other, but when they are being fucking serious in their performances, they both have the same playful aura of aggression. Like, you watch Training Day and fucking Denzel Washington is terrifying in it,
yeah,
but
yeah.
his character oh, yeah. is charming in a way. Like, he's funny. He intentionally makes you laugh so that he can then do something goddamn terrifying. And that is the exact same performance that is given to Kang. And it's like, oh, this could be amazing. If that is, if like secretly that has been informing the performance of Kang. Oh.
Yeah, no, yeah. But also, speaking of performances and in regards to how Marvel has handled like race and so forth, there is one actor that we haven't brought up yet.
Hmm.
Do you remember Carl Laemmle as Isaiah Bradley in Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Oh yeah, and he's coming back.
Oh my gosh!
And they 99% of that was Laemmle's performance. Let's be honest, but like they let that character go places.
Yes. Yeah. And I can't wait for more of that in the forthcoming Captain America and the Winter Soldier, because I love Red, White, and Black. It's a fantastic yeah. miniseries. The art on it is just fucking beautiful to start with. And it's such a brilliant way of re-examining not only like Marvel history and its history towards Black characters and how it approached it, but like American history and re-examining aspects of it, and like the Tuskegee experiment juxtaposed with Tuskegee Airmen. You know, you can't get more just, like, fucking obvious about it than, like, you know, sacrifice, duty, honor, and then exploitation. You know, and it's like, fuck. Yeah, no, I can't wait to further examine. I'm a little annoyed that they made him the second Captain America. He should still have been the original Captain America.
Yeah.
It feels like to try to keep Chris Evans' character at a certain level of like gravitas, they want him to be completely without guilt on this one, and it's like, yeah, and I completely understand that, but like, if they knew it worked, they wouldn't have, like, it's literally a plot point in Red, White, and Black, is like, if they knew it worked, they wouldn't have given it to a Black guy. They would have tried it on a bunch of white guys. They tried it on Black people because they were literally doing human experimentation.
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say, they would not have known.
Yeah, so it's like, it's part of the tragedy of him, is that he was there first and it's been erased. It still works being their second and having it erased, but like, it would, the punch is harder the first time.
Yeah.
Not all of us can storm a beach or drive a tank, but there's still a way all of us can fight.
Who vows to fight like the man for what's right night and day?
Series E defense bonds. Each one you buy is a bullet in the barrel of your best guy's gun.
Who will campaign door to door for America? Carry the flag shore to shore for America. From home open to Spokane.
To be perfectly frank, just because I'm looking at the time and where I did bring this story up earlier, I did want to make sure to get it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we've heard all the rumors about Idris Elba possibly being the next James Bond. We now have official word from Barbara Broccoli herself.
But you got nobody. Babs.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
No.
And in a quote from a Deadline, quote, nobody's in the running. We're working out where to go with him. We're talking that through. There isn't a script and we can't come up with one until we decide how we're going to approach the next film, because really it's a reinvention of Bond. We're reinventing who he is and that takes time. I'd say that filming is at least 2 years away.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. They have to figure out what the fuck to do now, and they can't just keep doing overly serious, because they completed the Daniel Craig reinvention Dark Knight Spectre thing, whatever the fuck they're going to end up calling that saga. Which I enjoyed, and I'm happy that they literally ended it. They said, no, James Bond died. He called in an airstrike. He is dead. Spoiler for No Time to Die. There is time to die. He dies at the end. It's about 3 hours. That's how long it takes. That's the time for him to die. But it's great. It's great for the character.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Craig's was the first entirely self-contained Bond storyline.
Yeah.
So whoever comes in next, they have to just completely reinvent the wheel, so to speak. And obviously, that's going to take time.
Yeah, and I think that, like, so obviously they can't just do it the old-fashioned way. No one wants movies that are disconnected anymore. They want something. And they can't do a tight, overarching plot, because they failed at that to start with. And they did. They stuck the landing at the end. They did. But there's definitely, like, a lot of stumbling leading up to the jump. And we all know that for a fact. Half the time that they were running up to that jump, they didn't even know if they were going to jump or if they were supposed to roll or if this was track and field and not ice hockey. Like, they didn't even have the fucking rights to Spectre for half of that goddamn series about Spectre. You can definitely go back and be like, ah, that inference is Spectre. Ah, that is clearly Spectre. Yes, totally. And it works in that sense, but it's like, it's a 60% complete Spectre series. What I think they should do, and I know the Broccolis hate this, and I don't give a fuck if they hate it. If the Broccolis didn't want people to have this theory and have it be popular, then Cubby shouldn't have beaten the founding the founder of the Three Stooges to death at the Hollywood Derby. Come at me. This is the truth. No, it's a fact. When he was younger, he and two one executive and a criminal, like a professional fucking mobster, beat the man who invented the Three Stooges so badly he died 24 hours later. And they all got away with it, because when he left the restaurant, people were like, I mean, yeah, they beat the holy fuck out of him, but he was still alive. Yeah, so anyway, Cubby Broccoli helped murder a man. So I think that what they should do after offending them so I think they should listen to my advice. They should just bite the bullet and have it be that 007 James Bond is the cover. Make everything previous to the next film canon. So the Daniel Craig stuff, all canon. Everything before it, all canon. James Bond Jr., all canon. The insane one with Orson Welles as Le Chiffre, all canon. And you simply have it be that this is the next James Bond. We are giving you the title and the number. Please don't make as much of a fucking farce out of it as your predecessors. And just allow it to be as connected or disconnected as the story requires.
Yeah.
That's right. I suggest carte blanche canon. You want something? Take it. You don't? Don't. It only matters if you accept it matters. We go the Riverdale route. Cheryl Blossom is now the Phoenix. Nihilism reigns. Nothing matters. Everything is permitted.
Now, I got to be honest, for my part, I was completely with you until you brought in Riverdale.
Cheryl Blossom is the Phoenix. This is canon. You cannot look away. Do not try to escape. Cheryl Blossom is the Phoenix.
But that being said, though, like in all seriousness, on the one hand, I do agree, because the one thing that I did not like about Skyfall was that they killed the codename theory in that movie.
In Skyfall, sure, but they can definitely be like, that's just a training.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Craig's James Bond super went hard on the brainwashing. He took to it like you wouldn't believe. Dude thinks his fucking school is where he lived. Come on.
But like at the same time, though, what you're describing is basically what Elizabeth Banks tried to do with the Charlie's Angels movie, and as much as I love that movie, that did not go well.
That did not go well because they didn't lay the proper groundwork for that by having the 90s Angels appear and it's the same thing as the Ghostbusters revival, where it's like that would have maybe worked if you didn't have the 2016 Ghostbusters, but now you have to include them in it. Otherwise, this whole retconning thing and re-retconning thing just kind of falls flat. Anyway, that was clusterfucked. It can still work with James Bond, especially considering how people are willing to give it that much leeway. As well, this is a backdoor, a nefarious scheme on my behalf, to fast forward us to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, because that is how James Bond works in League. So much so that the world is actually ended by the literary James Bond, who is, given an elixir of life, takes control of the cinematic James Bonds, who are all mindless fucking pissants, and nukes the imagination. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Alan.
quick side note to Eon Productions. I dare you.
Do it.
As we've reported in the past, there is a remake of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen coming. So I dare you to cross that
abuse,
over.
Abuse that IP. Abuse both of those IPs. Beat them like Cubby Broccoli beat the founder of the Three Stooges.
Thank you.
just because this is the only story that I can go to after that. very quickly, you remember Armie Hammer?
Unfortunately.
you want to know what happened to Armie Hammer?
I believe I briefly saw this story, but I, by all means, tell me, because it's still kind of really fucking stupid.
apparently, Armie Hammer is working as a timeshare salesman in the Caymans.
Mm-hmm. 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 Ask him about the secret room deals. He can get you a great place with a vault.
Now, apparently, there was this flyer making the rounds on social media stating that Hammer was working as a hotel concierge. The hotel told various media outlets, including Variety, which is where I'm reading this from, that Hammer was not on their staff. But then photos were published of Hammer appearing to be dressed in uniform working at the resort.
Fascinating.
Now a source tells Variety that Hammer is indeed working selling timeshares at a hotel in the Caymans, and that all other reports suggesting otherwise are inaccurate. Quote, he's working at the resort and selling timeshares. He's working at a cubicle, a source who called Variety this week explains. The reality is he's totally broke and is trying to fill the days and earn money to support his family.
I mean, listen, I'm sure that you still got to feed sex slaves, so that can't be cheap. Dog food's getting more expensive every day. What the fuck, Armie Hammer? I'd love to know how the fuck he, like, how many places did he try? How many calls did he make? How many friends abandoned him until, like, he eventually found someone who owned a fucking hotel in the Caymans, and he has to sell timeshares, which are essentially, like, double down cons on an area that is known for tax breaks. I mean, like, those aren't actual timeshares he's selling. He's selling essentially, like, off-the-book investments. And that's all he can do at this point. Wow, you're an amoral guy. Or, wow, you're an immoral guy that I can't trust whatsoever. I should buy some illicit financial equity off you. Like, sweet fucking Jesus. If you told me he was selling weed on the corner, I would have more respect for him.
Now, I think the disturbing thing here is that the jokes that you were making when I first read that quote, my brain went darker.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, obviously there's the cannibalism. There's always the cannibalism. And I'm sure that you can buy some other white meat on a place like the Cayman Islands all too easily.
I was just going to say, all I could think was he had those cannibalistic fantasies. He's totally broke. Has anyone actually checked in on his family?
Yeah. Are they still alive? Are they proved to me that they are still alive and are living with this lunatic? Fascinating. I mean, that's one way to fall. Let it be said, yeah, that if your career completely collapses, may you only end up living at a resort in the Caymans. Like, that doesn't seem like the worst.
No, I mean, when you come from a family that's old money, even broke, you gotta figure he's got connections.
I mean, yeah, there's broke and then there's, like, rich person broke, where it's like, oh, he'd just have to, like, you know, cash out his investments, but oh my god, then you have to deal with the taxes? Ugh.
Oh, so with that, shall we end by running from this darkness and diving headlong back into the MCU? Because I actually, unfortunately, I lost the article that I was originally going to do this with, but I did find on CBR.com the 10 biggest problems with the MCU according to critics. Now, obviously, we're not going to go through the full list for time.
Because half of them are probably bullshit.
Oh, probably. But I figured I'd just go through. We'll hit maybe like a random five.
Do it up.
I'm going to more or less skip over the complaint about how the villains are often underdeveloped, because I do think that they're fixing that.
They're getting there.
Today's filming relies too much on CGI and sound stages.
Most filming does.
Yeah, that's I was actually just about to say that I can see it for pretty much that exact reason. I mean, with Marvel specifically, there's the Thor movies, the Eternals, Doctor Strange, where you can't not do that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so what are you supposed to do? Just not include what is so obviously part of it? Like, fuck off. Fuck off.
Now, the article does specifically mention the Berlin airport fight from Civil War.
Yeah.
Saying, many critics cite the Berlin fight as washed out and gray. Gotta say there, I disagree. Despite it being the most action-packed sequence of Civil War, many have also become increasingly critical of Marvel's use of CGI and sound stages in the last few years. Critics say the MCU using the same Atlantis sound stages for their films elicit a feeling of insincerity compared to past installments which used more practical effects.
Okay, but they're using the Atlantis studio less and less.
And again, more often than not, they don't really have a choice.
Yeah. Also, like, yeah, sound studios have been used since the beginning of film. This is how this works.
Yeah.
Like, you film a lot of stuff in a studio. Sorry to tell you, that house that your favorite sitcom's in, that ain't real. That news anchor is not actually in a news office. That is a fake set. The people behind them are not actually working. They're usually video piped in. What the fuck, people? Please, please put some effort into learning how media works. Stop.
Lazy.
I do have to go back just to one moment. The Berlin airport fight. I understand people say, like, oh, it's washed out and whatever. It's like, oh, okay. Sure. You know, there are aspects where it can't be as vivid because of the amount of CG there. Sure, yeah, yeah. But mayhaps they missed the point when a giant red man was fighting a tiny blue and red spider-themed character while gold and gunmetal robot characters flew around them, and a woman with swirly red powers threw cars at the golden robot. And, like, I'm sorry, there was a lot of things that were silly willy and bright happening in that. You have to go really hard to claim that, like, it's gray. Washed out, I can understand. Gray? No. It's not a fucking Zack Snyder film. Pull your head out of your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Next up, the stories suffer from formulaic writing.
It's a comic book, you dipshits.
Yeah, it's like, early on? Sure.
Yeah, but this is one thing I can't get about the audience. They keep coming back and pretending that these are like movies. It's a fucking comic book. Learn how comic book continuity works. Learn how every series is a little different, and that's the point. Learn how sometimes the connective tissue is not one-to-one. It's another creator just kind of like playing with something. You'll have more fun and relax more. Goddamn, people. These aren't being produced the same way as movies. They're being produced and approached like they're a long-running comic book. Ah!
And, I mean, these are the same people that when Marvel didn't follow the Marvel formula, so, like, say, the Eternals, or, like, at this point, all of Phase 4.
Yeah.
The complaint was that the stories were not following the formula.
Yeah. Complaint-based criticism is the toilet of the devil. It is where intellect and nuance goes to die. Usually, again, on a toilet, thus with no dignity. Yeah. I have so little respect for just complainers. Like, I will go on and on and on and on about Zack Snyder, for sure, but that's the thing. I will go on about his goddamn technical choices, his story approaches, the way that things could and could not be done, and still recognize the ways that, like, okay, he would be a fantastic cinematographer. Jesus, give him to someone else to work with. Oh my God. And then look at how to save aspects of it and fix it, and like how other people have approached it and been able to work with it. And like, okay, that works. That's cool. That's regressive. That's not. It's the constant whinging and then whining and then pretending that, oh, the previous version was better. And it's like, you fucking hated the previous version.
Yep.
There's no memory. There's no sense of perspective. There is no understanding of how art is made or, like, the context behind a story. I am so sick to death of lazy audiences.
I love that you said that, because the next one that I just scrolled to, all new projects require tons of context.
Get off your ass, you lazy piece of shit. Like, now, I'm sorry, intellectual, zero curiosity and a lack of intellectual, like bravery. It's a fucking comic book. Move your ass, read a Wikipedia, for fuck's sakes. Ah!
Well, I mean, you don't even specifically have to go that far, because I would take this and also go into the current complaint about how, oh, Phase 4 seems directionless. Phase 4 isn't building up to anything. I'm pretty sure Phase 4 is laying the foundation for this new group of characters, the way that Phase 1 did for the original group.
I mean, if they can't see the lead up to Young Avengers, then I honestly don't know what the hell they are watching.
Oh, yeah, like the lead up to Young Avengers, setting up for the X-Men, the Thunderbolts.
Secret Invasion, which, of course, then inevitably leads, at least in the comics, to the Thunderbolts becoming the Avengers. Like, where the fuck, like, that's going to get tied in some aspect. We now have mutants, and Wanda is still alive. What you gonna do, Wanda? What you gonna do, Wanda? we've got the incursions coming. This whole thing's gonna come down to an incursion eventually, and the multiversal war. Honestly, I can understand if people don't see it as straightforward, because it's not like six stones and a glove.
Yeah.
Straightforward, with one bad guy. But I absolutely reject that they're incapable of figuring this out. These are movies for children, and the kids aren't complaining.
No, exactly. And I mean, like I said, the new projects require tons of... The new projects are the context.
Yeah, like, pay the fuck attention. And might I suggest, if you don't want to pay the, like, $10 a month to read Marvel Unlimited, it is a great service. I do adore it, until it updates and loses your library. But if you don't want to spend the money on that to stay up to date as they load up stories connected to like the movies or shows coming out so that you can like read along and see where the influences are coming from, go to Get Comics. Just go to Get Comics. Just yeah. Google Get Comics. I assure you, you'll wind up in the right place and steal the shit out of whatever you need. And please, for the love of God, read these and then go buy the like super ass absolute editions as a recompense for having stolen them like I do.
All right.
Because honestly, people need to put more effort into watching these. It's not too much more effort. You just need to like not turn your brain totally off. Yeah. Now there is more to that list, but Mike gave me a sneak preview, and that's going to be another hour and a half. I'm not even kidding. I'll just yep. So we're going to save that for next week.
Quite simply, I'm used to 3-hour podcasts. She's not, and she's editing.
Yeah, it takes about twice as long to edit as it does to record. And but later this week, we have the fantastic third episode of our Canucksploitation series coming out with Turbo Kid. And then next week, we will be back with another B-roll where we deep dive into the rest of that article.
And, make no mistake, are we going to be going hard?
Hard. I'm essentially going to be going film by film and explaining why the article is wrong in detail. I can already think of it. Like it popped into my head fully formed, and I'm just going to be like, fueled by rage at lazy nerds for an entire week. Until then, if you enjoyed this and the rest of our crap, please like, share, and subscribe. Leave us a comment or send us an email. That email again is
realgeekshfx@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at realgeekshfx. And finally, naturally, don't forget to nominate us as Halifax's best podcast in the Coast Magazine's Best of Halifax campaign, which can be found at vote.thecoast.ca. Just go to the music and culture category, scroll down to best podcast, and type our name in. And then we get on the ballot. Things get better for the show. We win, things get better for the show, and you get better content. And as I've said before, it's just there's winning all around, unless you're a different Halifax podcast, but the hell with them.
And my ego gets all the larger, which I consider to be an absolute win.
Absolutely. So on that note, we're going to leave you with the calm, relaxing tones of the cast of Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
And with that note, just sit back, relax, and we'll see you in a few days with Turbo Kid.
Enjoy.
Relax your mind. And prepare for some positive affirmations from the cast of Marvel Studios' Thor, Love, and Thunder.
You are worthy.
You are mighty.
You are powerful.
You are strong.